Nearly two-thirds of Wisconsin's counties are processing marriage licenses for same-sex couples following Friday's federal court ruling overturning the state's same-sex marriage ban. Meanwhile, Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen is appealing the ruling. Good morning, I'm Cynthia Schuster in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. After 7:30, we'll hear from a supporter of the same-sex marriage ban and why she's hoping for a successful appeal. But first, we take a look at the so-called brain drain here in Wisconsin. Are young people leaving the state to settle in metropolitan areas with better public transportation or more bicycle-friendly commutes? Do you wish Wisconsin invested more in these types of resources? Why or why not? You can let us know at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Our email address is talk@wpr.org. My guest is Bruce Spate. He is director of the Wisconsin Public Interest Research Group, or WISPRG. His opinion piece, called Wisconsin's Brain Drain and Transportation Priorities, is based on a new WISPRG survey. It recently appeared in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Bruce, thanks for joining us today.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
So you, WISPRG just released a new survey on how transportation fits into the state's brain drain issue. What's the biggest takeaway from that research?
Sure. Well, we surveyed 530 college students at 14 different Wisconsin campuses, and what we found is that students want the ability overwhelmingly to get around without driving, and many may leave Wisconsin if they don't have those options. We've been hearing for years now about how millennials are looking for a different transportation future, seeking different transportation options. And, you know, I think really we're starting to challenge this notion that driving is a rite of passage. It used to be that when you turn 16, that's what you wanted more than anything. But, you know, millennials seem interested in other things a bit more. That's not to say they don't want to drive and get a driver's license, but we are driving less. Millennials in particular are driving less. The rates of getting driver's licenses are decreasing. But our state transportation budget and our federal transportation budget have been incredibly slow, or really haven't even acknowledged these changes. We think that's a very troubling trend, and we think it risks losing recruiting and retaining young talent here in Wisconsin.
Why hasn't that been a priority in your mind so far?
Well, I think part of it is just our history, right? I mean, since World War II up until just after the year 2000, we had year-on-year increases in vehicle miles traveled that were, you know, on average, year-on-year, a 2.5% increase. But 10 years ago, something changed. I mean, in 2012, which is the year for which we have the most recent data, we drove fewer total miles in Wisconsin than we did in the year 2003. We're driving less. And really, everyone is. I mean, that's total vehicle miles traveled. But again, we're seeing a particular decline among millennials, those born between 1984 and 2004. So I think part of it is that. But then I think there are a number of factors that are driving millennials, pun intended, I guess, to other transportation options. And, you know, one of them is economic. I mean, it's not cheap to own a car these days. When you add up all the cost, gas, maintenance, just purchasing a car, insurance, parking cost, it costs a lot. But then, you know, I think it's also just convenience. I think millennials, you know, they're the most technologically savvy generation. And, you know, a lot of millennials would rather, you know, be on their phones or, you know, using technology than, you know, sitting, you know, in a car. And so I think there are a number of factors that are playing into this, but whatever it is, the trends are there. And our state and federal DOT need to wake up, and our state leaders need to respond to this. I mean, we risk not only not retaining young talent, but wasting taxpayer money on infrastructure that we don't need, and not investing in the infrastructure we do need, not only to meet the demand, but also to retain that young talent.
Of all the factors that might be contributing to the brain drain, why center on transportation at this time?
Right. Well, there certainly we're not suggesting that this is the only factor. That if we get smart about how we invest transportation dollars, that that will suddenly solve this problem. But we do think it's a factor. And the reason why is because there is now a lot of research by economists looking at, you know, what is driving, again, pun intended, where millennials are going. And what those studies suggest is that they are looking for quality of life amenities first. It used to be that that young people, after they graduated from college or once they entered the workforce, whether or not they went to school, you know, went to where the jobs were. And of course, that's still happening. But it increasingly seems that young people are choosing place first. So they look for a place that they want to live, they go there, and then they find a job. And I can't tell you how many young professionals I've talked to recently who say, oh yeah, I've got friends who moved to Austin, or I've got friends who moved to Seattle, or I've got friends who moved to Portland, and they don't have jobs. But they move there because they want the quality of life amenities that are there, and then, you know, look for a job. So there even are economists, one of which we mention in our report, Joseph Courtwright, who suggests that, you know, we need to even rethink economic development strategies so that, you know, employers, it used to be that they would, you know, go to a location that they thought was best for their business. He's urging them to actually go to where the young talent is, because young people are going to places, again, based on the quality of life amenities they're looking for first, and also urging, you know, cities and state leaders to kind of rethink their economic development strategies to provide those amenities so that young talent comes there. And you know, I don't think there's any debating that that recruiting and retaining young talent in today's knowledge-based economy is essential for economic development.
A listener on Facebook says, I'm staying in Wisconsin for now, but I'm moving to Madison and will be biking as much as I can. To hell with all this construction. Oh, I've got news for you. We've got plenty of construction down here. I've never seen this much road construction inconvenience in Madison with no benefit to show for it.
Yeah, I think that's right. That's what we hear increasingly, right, is young people saying, yeah, well, I want to be able to bike. I want to be able to take transit. I want to live in communities that are, you know, more bike and pedestrian friendly and more, you know, bikeable and walkable. So, yeah, I mean, there it is.
And he's saying, I misunderstood at first. He's saying that in Madison, there is benefit to the construction. When it's all said and done, there's some payoff at the end there. You know, as college graduates settle down outside of the state, what exactly might be Wisconsin missing out on by not having them here?
Right. Well, I mean, again, you know, economists are saying, look, you know, young talent is essential for economic development. If you look at, you know, the areas that, well, actually, Ed Glaser, a Harvard economist, has done a lot of research looking at, you know, what are some of the best indicators, economic and social indicators of economic development and success. And, you know, he's concluded that young talent is the best indicator. If you look at communities that are successful at recruiting and retaining them, those tend to be the most successful areas. So, and actually, what his research has found is that it is most important in communities, cold weather climates or cold weather states and cities. So, so, you know, again, a place like, you know, Madison or Milwaukee, Green Bay, you know, making sure that we are, you know, retaining and recruiting that young talent is vital to our economic success and our future economic prosperity. We don't want to lose young talent. And in fact, there have been a number of recent studies about, you know, how our population in not only are we experiencing a brain drain where young people are leaving than are staying or coming into the state, you know, but our population is also aging. So there's a concern about, you know, making sure we maintain a workforce that is going to help our economy to grow and thrive in the future. So that adds even more reason to make sure that we're finding ways to recruit and retain that young talent.
We're talking with Bruce Spate. He is director at the Wisconsin Public Interest Research Group, or WISPRG. His opinion piece recently appeared in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel called Wisconsin's Brain Drain and Transportation Priorities. We're taking your calls as well. What do you think? Do you agree with our guests that making our state's communities more walkable, bikeable, or transit friendly might bring younger people back and retain them here in the state? You can let us know at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us at talk@WPR.org. I'm Cynthia Schuster in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Cynthia Schuster, in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking with Bruce Spate, director of the Wisconsin Public Interest Research Group, or WISPRG. He says if Wisconsin wants to keep young talent in the state, then it has to invest in mass transit and make cities more walkable and bikeable. Do you agree? You can let us know. 800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. You could also tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let's take a call from John in Appleton. Hi, John.
Yeah, good morning. Appreciate all the good work you guys both do. Keep it up. We've taken the train as a family from Columbus, Wisconsin to D.C. We're actively financially supporting the rail effort to get more passenger rail here in this state Midwest, and we were among many people very upset when Governor Walker sent away the money for the train from Milwaukee to Madison and beyond. And I'd like you to document, if you could, more where economic growth has really exploded or at least increased because of passenger rail.
Sure. Well,
sorry, Bruce. There you go.
Oh, great. Absolutely. We have seen a lot of economic. Well, there have been a number of studies that look at economic development around fixed transit routes, passenger rail, light rail. When you have a number of people coming in and out of a station, there's tremendous economic development potential there. And so we have seen economic development occur around fixed route transit stations. The passenger rail project was one that, WISPRG supported. We continue to support it. Governor Thompson's vision was a Midwest regional rail plan that connected 100 cities throughout the Midwest with a hub and spoke system, with Chicago being the hub and spokes going out to major cities throughout. And, the plan here in Wisconsin for the Midwest Regional Rail Initiative was to have one line, or rather continue the line that goes from Chicago to Milwaukee, the Hiawatha, through Madison, the Dells, Portage, either La Crosse or Eau Claire, and then up to the Twin Cities, and then also having a spur go from Milwaukee up to Green Bay through Appleton. So, many of our major metropolitan areas would have been connected, and, there would be tremendous economic benefits, there would be tremendous environmental benefits, and it would provide not only the business class with another option for getting around for shorter trips where it's less economically feasible to travel by plane, but then, also for, folks to travel to, other cities in Wisconsin or to the Twin Cities or Chicago for the weekend, or students for that matter, anyone, it would make it easier to do that. And obviously there are ways for people to do that now, but having those passenger rail connections would be a real boon for our economy here in Wisconsin.
Larry in Muscadet emails, I agree with the need for public mass transit. However, it's not just for the millennials. With aging boomers who love to travel but are losing the interest or ability to drive, are being excluded from travel opportunities. What's your response to that?
Absolutely. This is a very good point. Our report focused on millennials and young people, but this is true. There is increasing evidence to suggest that boomers and I did comment before that, we are seeing a decline in vehicle miles traveled. People are driving less of all ages. But yeah, we're seeing more boomers move back into urban areas. There had been and this is part of what contributed to the driving boom of the 20th century, where, many people were moving out to the suburbs and therefore their commute times increased and vehicle miles traveled. It was one contributor to that driving boom. But the driving boom has ended. As I said before, we have seen now a decline, and it's not just a 1 or 2 year decline. Again, we are driving less in 2012 than we did in 2003. And per capita, so per person VMT, is actually down to what it was in the mid-90s. So we're seeing people of all ages drive less and actually choose to live in areas where they have to commute less or they have to travel by car less. So these are all reasons to rethink our state transportation budget, because we're still spending state and federal transportation dollars as if we were living in the 1970s. We really haven't adapted. And that, you know, as I said before, is a real problem, not only for economic development, but for any taxpayer in Wisconsin, where we are squandering money on overbuilding a highway system and not investing or shortchanging modes that people of all ages are seeking more and more. And as our report says, you know, potentially we aren't providing the infrastructure that would bring more millennials and others, boomers, other generations here to our communities.
How many people in your survey specifically said that they were thinking about leaving the state because of the lack of availability of transport options, or conversely, because their destination does have those things?
Yes, 60% said they would be more likely to stay in Wisconsin if they could live in a community where they had options for getting around other than a car.
Okay. Let's take a call next from Michael in Wauwatosa. Michael, what's your question?
Good morning. I commute downtown from Wauwatosa. I am a biker in the summertime. I find that very hard. I'm not hardy enough to do that in the winter. My employer is very accommodating in terms of showers, bike storage. But as I say, it's very hard for me to get to work in the winter. I have to take two buses. The buses don't come, you know, very regularly. And I think, indeed, we really lack that public transportation within cities. I wonder if the government, at least at the state level, has any ability to attract any federal funding to make our bus transportation you know, simply better. My children live in Chicago, and they rely on bus transportation, of course, in the L, but they find it very convenient to get around. Here, it's simply very inconvenient to get around.
Thanks, Michael. So what about that? I mean, we can't get beyond the Wisconsin winters. They'll always be here. So how do we make mass transit more reliable and smooth for the passengers?
Well, we need to invest in it. And, you know, the caller is absolutely right. I think there are a few issues here. One is just workforce connectivity. In a metropolitan area like Milwaukee, you know, one of the problems that, and I was at a panel discussion last week in Milwaukee, where there are a number of others commenting how, you know, a lot of the jobs are out in suburban areas. And, you know, and so folks who live in the city of Milwaukee are having to commute out. And so then, you know, if you are either choosing or need to get around without a car, it can be very difficult to get to the job and connect, you know, workers to jobs. And that's a big economic issue. And then the other problem is if someone loses that job and it's in another place, you know, they might be completely disconnected from those job opportunities. So this is a very real economic problem that we need to come to grips with in Wisconsin, especially in Milwaukee, but in a number of our communities here in Wisconsin. But then the real issue is state and federal transportation investments. And we did a report a few years ago called Road Overkill. We looked at seven recently completed highway projects in Wisconsin and specifically looked at the projections for those highways and the actual traffic counts. And what we found is that we are nowhere near the projections. And those seven projects totaled $1.2 billion that we spent. So our point is, look, we hardly ever find a highway project that we can't find the money for, and we have evidence of overbuilding highways in the state, which is very, very costly. We, however, find it very difficult to come up with the resources to invest in the local transportation infrastructure, like, you know, transit, bike infrastructure, pedestrian infrastructure. So what we're saying is, and our state DOT secretary has been out saying, we need more money. And overwhelmingly, that is to build more highways when we have evidence that we're already overbuilding and we're driving less. So we're saying, hey, let's make sure we spend this money wisely before we go asking taxpayers for more. Let's rather than squandering it on highway projects we don't need, invest it in this local infrastructure that we're using more and that as we've already discussed, numerous generations, not just millennials, are wanting more of. And it, of course, would help this caller having, you know, better transit in Milwaukee as an option for getting to work and for other commuting that he has to do.
In our last minute here, what role should our elected officials play in making this happen?
Well, they need to vote for a state transportation budget that reflects our current needs. And we have been saying for a few years now, our state transportation budget is out of touch. I'll also notice that the previous caller brought up, you know, attracting more federal money. Absolutely, we can and should do that. One of the reforms we need at the federal level is to... right now, it's not so hard to get federal highway money. You have to jump through, states often have to jump through a number of hoops to get transit dollars. So we really need reform on the federal level as well, since that contributes to the state decisions that are made to make sure that it's easier to access money for other transportation options. But our state leaders really need to wisen up to what's happening and vote on a budget that reflects our current needs and reflects what's happening, because the way we're getting around today is different than it was in the 20th century, and our state budget should reflect that. It will be good for taxpayers and it will be good for our economy.
Bruce, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Bruce Spade is director at the Wisconsin Public Interest Research Group, or WISPRG, and his opinion piece is called Wisconsin's Brain Drain and Transportation Priorities. I'm Cynthia Schuster, in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.